This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live, local talk that matters to you. Now, here's Brent and Dave from the Capital Auto Group Studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Happy Friday and welcome to Newsmakers. I'm Dave Bourne and guest host Denise Quinn joins us again today. Happy Friday to you.
Thank you. Happy Friday to you. I'm extremely happy that it's Friday.
It is. And it's nice. It's sunny and warm.
It's
I'll
beautiful.
Take it every day, every day. Hey, I haven't heard anything from Brent. He's off today.
Yesterday was the big day, the big sort of speed dating with the airlines was yesterday.
Speed dating.
Yes.
Yeah. He said he had 20 minutes with each airline to present why they should come and operate out of Salem. So
he's there as part of a team, right?
I thought yes.
Kyle is with him and some other people. So like I said on Wednesday, if anybody can do this, it's Brent DeHart and his team.
He is amazing.
He can get out there and schmooze with the best
Proud
of them.
Proud to say that he's my partner.
There you go.
All right.
Aww.
I know, right?
So nice.
Yeah. Rather than slamming him like I did on Wednesday.
Yeah, Brent's not here. Let's talk smack about him.
So I have enjoyed my JC's Pizzeria pizza today. Nice and hot and tasty. If you get a chance, you know, check it out this weekend. Sunny and 65 like all weekend.
It's gorgeous. It's and the cherry blossoms are out. It doesn't feel like Oregon. Where's the rain? It's just too nice.
Stay away.
I know. I'm probably I should be quiet.
I need more sun. More vitamin. More vitamin D.
Vitamin D, absolutely.
Yeah,
I need more freckles, so come on, son.
Well, an interesting show today. Don't forget, we'll be talking with the volcanoes. Mitch Graff will be in for the fourth segment. But the first three segments, Denise, who are we talking to?
We're talking to one of my very dear friends from the old Tea Party days. Have been political activists together for a long time. Jeff Reynolds is in the house.
Hey.
Jeff is an author, a blogger, a podcaster, an activist, former Uber driver. I know you've kind
still,
of done...
Still, you know,
still,
part-time
still doing
here
that?
And there.
Yeah. Really kind of a renaissance man.
Yes.
Kind of
yes.
does it all. So Jeff's got a relatively new book out called Behind the Curtain. I have got now my now autographed copy of it. I'm very excited about
I'm
that.
I'm jealous.
I'll let you touch it.
Thanks.
So we invited Jeff to come down and talk about his book, to talk about local politics, because he's very well aware of what's going on down in Salem as far as at the state, at the local level. So Jeff, again, welcome to the program. It's great to have you.
Yeah, thank you very much. I really appreciate it. This is a lot of fun. I always love coming into studio and talking to you guys.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. It's good to have you. So, okay, we talked about the book. Let's start right there because, you know, people got to sell books.
Right.
Yeah, totally.
Book talk.
And this is
book?
A good book. This is called, again, Behind the Curtain, Inside the Network of Progressive Billionaires and Their Campaign to Undermine Democracy. So,
wow.
Boom.
That's pretty deep.
Yeah. It's tracking all the dark money on the left. And I wanted to write this because the Democrats and the leftists always accuse conservatives of being the party of billionaires. And there's nothing but hypocrisy in a statement like that because they are beholden to the billionaires that are running their agenda. So I wanted to point out all of the people that are funding these candidates and these foundations, these enormous foundations with hundreds of billions of dollars that they put into campaigns and what they're doing, what the agenda that they're pushing. So it's available at whoowns.thedems.com.
Well, so you know, talk about, you know, where the right is always accused of that. It's always the scary, you have to put scare music now in scare quotes, the Koch brothers.
Yes.
That's what we always get. Yep. But, you know, in reading this, I mean, you start peeling away the layers and sort of the labyrinthine way that these organizations are set up. How long did you have to research this book?
It took a while. Yeah. It was a process because, first of all, I was approached to write it in 2017.
Okay.
And just as Trump had been inaugurated and took office, there was so much news coming out that, you know, me and my editor were just going back and forth via email. Did you see this? That's got to go in the book too. And so, you know, it took a long time to distill all the information into a narrative, you know, and into something that was actually readable. You know, so I actually put it down to about 200 pages. Mm-hmm. All this information, it could be an encyclopedia. So yeah. I distilled it into 200 pages of the most egregious examples, and just sort of given it almost a primer to the money on the left and how they're coordinating all of their messaging, all their campaigns, and you know, some of the laws they may be breaking and all of that stuff, all the corruption inside the agencies, you know, unelected bureaucrats in Washington. So there's a lot in there.
So this isn't only at the national level. You've got organizations that have tentacles into the state as well. Did you find tentacles reaching in to Oregon
sure.
politics?
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's been going around here lately with Senate Bill 978, the gun-grabbing bill that they are Bloomberg's put in, what, about $2 million into Oregon politics over the last 2 years to get anti-gun legislators elected so that they could ram this stuff through and get Kate Brown to sign it. Kate Brown has taken hundreds of millions of dollars from the Bloomberg groups, you know, Every Town for Gun Safety and all that stuff.
Demanding, or Moms Demand Action.
Yeah, those groups. And so she is then distributing money out to campaigns, you know, all legal. It's not illegal.
Right.
But it clearly shows who is influencing and who's pushing this agenda. It's not, I mean, there are legislators from in-state, but there are out-of-state forces that really want to change Oregon politics.
And then they claim that we're trying that they want us to protect the guns.
Well, they're also the right is constantly accused of taking money from outside the state, money outside the state, and yet you've clearly shown that that's happening on the left.
Yeah, it happens all the time, and I don't understand why Michael Bloomberg thinks it's his business to push soda taxes in Seattle and Philadelphia, or to push gun grabbing bills in Oregon. It doesn't make any sense to me, you know. So that's what I wanted to expose, is why this guy thinks he can meddle in other states' business.
Yeah, that's kind of weird.
It's all about control.
Well, exactly. Yeah, I mean these elites, you know, they don't live by their own rules,
right.
Of course, and so. They exhibit maximum hypocrisy all the time. Everything that they mandate for other people is for them. It's not for the elite ruling class. There's a ruling class that they want to establish over all Americans, and it's, you know, it sounds kind of conspiracy theory-ish, but it's actually true. They want this agenda to remove freedoms from individuals but they want to be in charge and pulling the strings.
I think Oregonians are seeing that play out in this legislative session with certain sort of big ticket bills that are going through and mm-hmm. working their way through. The one that pops into my head right now is the vaccination bill, which we can probably talk about later on in the show. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. there are a number of bills that I think a lot of people are kind of looking up and looking around going, wait a second, it's sort of, you know, for thee but not for me.
Yeah.
And you see that
yeah.
on display in Oregon.
Yeah, and there's all kinds of really bad legislation, and I think we were talking about this, the Senate Bill 1008
yeah.
that relaxes mandatory minimum sentencing under Measure 11 for juvenile offenders. I wrote an article this week that shows clearly that the loopholes in this bill will lead to Kip Kinkle, the state's most notorious mass shooter, getting a parole hearing next year and probably being released.
So,
wow.
For those that may not remember, since it's been almost 20 years.
Over. It was 1998.
Just refresh our yeah. minds on who Kip Kinkle is.
So in May of 1998, over a two-day period, he murdered his parents. He had some psychiatric issues, yeah. and he murdered his parents, and then the next day went to Thurston High School and shot up the cafeteria, shot 24 students, killing two of them,
mm-hmm.
And was then restrained by other students until the police could arrive. So, and it was a sensational case, of
yeah.
course. You know, this 15-year-old kid just snapped and lost it, and you know, I don't think most Oregonians realize what this bill will do, and I'm pretty certain that most Oregonians believe that guy should not be released onto the streets again.
Ever.
And it's not just, you know, Kip Kinkle is the big ticket item
right.
here, but what this bill will do will actually release violent rapists, burglars, people who have committed assault, and it'll release them onto the streets of Oregon without any sort of supervision from the state.
I've not read the bill. I'd be curious to read the rationale behind this of why they think this is a good idea.
Yeah, I have a good... Well, I don't I don't have any idea why they think it's a good idea, but I have a good summary of it up in my article at PJ Media. So check that out. It's just amazing that all of these people are kind of coalescing around this criminal justice reform movement. Mm-hmm. But we've gone so far that we have taken an issue that most Oregonians believe in, mm-hmm. and we're just completely undermining it.
Well, let's on the other side of the break, we got to take a quick break right now. On the other side, pick up on that and talk a little bit more and maybe get into some other the things where you're looking at massive government overreach. But right now, we're going to take a quick break. This is 1430 KYKN Newsmakers. We will be right back.
This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Green Acres Landscape. Welcome back to Newsmakers. I'm Dave Bourne. Guest host today is Denise Quinn.
Hello. Happy Friday.
Yes, happy Friday. And we'll be talking with Mitch Graff of the Salem-Keizer Volcanoes here in the fourth segment. But right now we have a special guest in the studio.
We have Jeff Reynolds with us. Yes. The one and only Jeff Reynolds.
Famous author.
I have to say, I thought I knew you.
But I really don't.
And I know another Jeff Reynolds. And it's funny is that you've worked with other people that I've worked with, but we never met. So that was kind of weird.
Yeah.
And you think you would have crossed paths.
Same circles.
It is a small world. It is a small world. Yeah.
So we're talking about your book.
Yep.
Behind the curtain,
inside the network of progressive billionaires and their campaign to undermine democracy.
Is that the whole title?
It could
title
be longer if you like.
I could
start reading chapter one.
Wow.
Let's do that. No, let's not. But let's talk about something else because you wear many hats and you're in addition to being a world famous author, best-selling author, soon to be. Here I am. Let's go for that.
Sure.
You also are a blogger and you write for a number of conservative sites, mm-hmm. news media sites, not necessarily conservative.
Yeah, center right. Yeah,
center right.
PJ Media, yep. Which recently got acquired by Salem Media Group. So same people as like Town Hall Media. And Red State and those folks.
Excellent.
So, yeah.
So we were talking before the break about Kip Kinkle and some legislation that is coming through that basically would potentially release him back, allow him to apply for parole and be released back into the general population.
Yeah, so I have an article up at PJ Media on Wednesday. Oregon bill to relax mandatory minimum sentencing would free the state's most notorious mass shooter. And it's a real good summary of Senate Bill 1008, mm-hmm. which was actually passed out of the Senate before we even really got a fix on it. But I've been talking with Norm Frank, who's a retired deputy district attorney out of Multnomah County, mm-hmm. really great guy, awesome dude, and he actually litigated a lot of these convictions in the 90s under Measure 11, you know, and so he's sounding the alarm like, oh my gosh, this is crazy, we're going to let all these people out. So one of the examples, and he gave me a good summary that I included in the article, but one of the examples he gives me is that under this bill, if a 17-year-old commits a violent, you know, a burglary, rape, assault, something like that. Mm-hmm. The bill says that all of those offenders under the age of 18 would go through the juvenile court instead of being able to be tried as an adult. And so, say a 17-year-old committed a violent crime, all supervision ceases by the age of 25. So the person who commits this violent crime could serve 8 years and be out on the streets with no supervision or parole or anything.
And then because they're a juvenile, would their record be sealed?
I'm not sure about that, but I know that the sentencing for those types of crime is under Measure 11 is a lot longer than 8 years. So this is a real big deterrent. And Norm points out that in the 90s, we saw the largest drop in violent crime in the nation,
yeah,
our state. Mm-hmm. So it was a very effective policy, Measure 11. And there's been this movement among conservatives as well as liberals to join up in the criminal justice reform movement. And this is where it goes horribly wrong, mm-hmm, where they go so far that they're letting violent criminals out on the streets.
So what is the support? Are you seeing bipartisan support for this as it's moving its way through?
It got bipartisan support in the Senate because it was going through very quietly. Nobody really noticed what was going on. And so when I started working with Norm, he's like, we got to do something about this. And so I wrote the article. He's been on a couple of radio programs talking about it. I'm talking about it now. And I believe, I'm not certain of this, but Norm tells me that it was pulled from a work committee in the Judiciary Committee in the House.
Okay.
So I can't confirm that, but I believe that's the case. So I think the public pressure is starting to ratchet up, say, look, we got to put the brakes on this and say, really rethink this, because this is some really bad legislation that's going to put Oregonians at risk, especially if they steal all our guns. So can't defend ourselves against violent criminals who've been let out early.
Yeah, exactly. Why don't they just reinstate the death penalty like we have on the books already?
Right. No, they don't have to reinstate it. They just have to uphold the law that's on the books.
See?
It's a constitutional, it's a part of the Constitution. So they are breaking the law by not enforcing it.
That just burns me on that.
It does. And I wonder with a lot of these, again, legislators are people that have lives. They're not subject matter experts on all this stuff. So again,
right,
it's incumbent on us and those
a
of
lot
us,
of them are experts on very little.
Very little. True. I mean, we could talk about what the qualifications. Well, there really are no. You have to be a certain age and live in the county and live in the area that you're representing.
You have to get more votes than
pretty
the
much,
other guy,
and you have to be the better campaigner.
Yeah.
It comes down to votes. So again, you've got people that are coming through, and this may on the surface look like something that you can get behind as a compassionate measure. And then when you really sort of dig down beneath the layers, you're realizing, no, it actually really isn't.
Yeah, no, and that's this goes to like the restorative justice stuff that they do in the schools, Obama era policy, where instead of punishing kids for violent acts or bullying or things that are real clear violations of school rules, they'll just allow them to, you know, write an essay or do something. You know, some of that stuff is effective, right? You meet the kid where he lives because, you know, mm-hmm, disadvantaged neighborhoods, socioeconomic situations, some of it can be effective. But a lot of it is just letting kids off with a slap on the wrist. And they're trying to do the same thing in the criminal justice system because the underlying belief is that the entire criminal justice system is either racist, classist, whatever, and it's deeply flawed. So therefore, it needs to be checked, the criminal justice system.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I'm hearing anecdotal stories from friends who are teachers, and they're teachers that are really young at the kindergarten age. And so you've got this generation of kids that are coming up that have had screen time their whole life,
mm-hmm,
and the behavioral challenges that are coming with that just at the same time as they're taking away tools from teachers to discipline.
Right.
I just see this as a perfect storm combined with what you're talking about with 1008, this generation coming in where it's lax and there's no tools to discipline.
Yeah. And a lot of that
15
is 15
years from now.
Right. A lot of that is federal policy included in Common Core, included in federal grants and all this stuff. So the more the government gets involved, the more the government comes in over the top on local school districts, the worse effects it has. And those people in D.C. that are making these policies have no idea what the kids in Salem, how they're going to respond to these policies.
So that brings us to kind of coming down into a more local level. You're talking about school boards and how those things work and the policies that are made. So you've got the teachers that are dealing with this. We've got school board races going on right now in Salem.
Yep. Yep.
So Dave, how much do we have time to dig into this now? Or okay,
yeah,
we can
like
start on
minutes.
This because this can be a little bit. So you've talked about how at the national, the federal level, and then it comes down to the state level. Well, really, again, where the rubber meets the road on every issue is the local level.
Absolutely.
So you've been kind of been aware of what's been going on in the Salem-Keizer public schools. We've got, I think it's the even number races that are the even number zones that are up right now, there's been some shenanigans happening.
There have. And I actually, I have a podcast. It's called Behind the Curtain. It's just
really?
Like my
wow.
book.
How'd you come up with that?
Yeah, imagine that.
By the way, buy my book. But the podcast, the podcast is at anchor.fm/behindthecurtain, or you can search it on Google and Apple. And I, this past week, I drop episodes every Wednesday. Yeah. And I just interviewed this week, Marty Hyen, who's okay. running for re-election onto the Salem Kaiser School Board, because I'd heard about these Facebook ads that are being run to attack her and Satya Chandragiri
and Daniel Bethel. Yes,
yes, yes. And so they're these Facebook ads are just blatant. It's, you know, don't let Oregon Right to Life take over Salem Kaiser School Board, because they earned the endorsement of Oregon Right to Life, as if standing up for the lives of children is a bad thing in the school board.
I was just going to say that sort of it's very strange. Like they're standing up for the lives of children, and somehow that makes them
wrong
for the job.
Well, it's like I told Marty when I interviewed her, if you don't stand for post-birth abortion, then you know, there's something wrong with you. It's absurd. It's gotten to that point, you know. But anyway, so she and the other two candidates are facing these Facebook ads that are attacking her for having the endorsement of Oregon Right to Life. Not that she's going to carry the water for them at the school board level, because what are they going to do?
Nothing.
What I mean, other than perhaps dealing with school clinic issues, where, you know,
which, if I recall, they're not doing that right now. They were, and then I think they were out. There was a parental outcry about 5 or 6 years ago.
Coordinated care organizations, and all that stuff, and Obamacare and the failure of Care Oregon and all of that, mm-hmm. because we want more government into the schools, as I mentioned earlier. But anyway, so she's facing all these vicious attacks for simply being endorsed for her views on the right to life. So and it's being run by this is where I got to dig in a little bit on Orstar, and it's being run by this progressive group. There's Progressive Salem, and then there's this individual that's running these ads, and he's put in hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dollars of his own money to run these ads, just attacking these candidates on issues that they're not going to deal with at all as school board members.
No, right, not exactly. at all. Yeah. Not at all.
And all three have been here on Newsmakers.
Yeah. Right, and they're all great people.
And they are great people.
Solid people that have every qualification you would want in a school board member.
Absolutely, mm-hmm. and Marty is an incumbent right now and has a track record of almost 4 years of really advocating for students and parents.
Right.
So these attacks just, they ring very bell clangy. They just don't.
Yeah, you know, it's almost as if Portland's progressive politics are invading Salem.
Well, you know, we're seeing that in other issues as well, as, you know, we talk about, so...
Yeah.
Okay, we do have to take a break now, so I'm glad we got to dig into that a little bit. So we'll come back. We have one more segment with you, Jeff.
Okay.
So be thinking of, you know, interesting things to talk about, because I know you've got a ton of them.
I have a few.
Yeah. So once again, this is 1430 KYKN Newsmakers, and we will be right back.
Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, presented by Les Schwab Tires, continues in the Capital Auto Group studios. Here's Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Color Tile of Salem and Sylvan Learning Center. Welcome back to Newsmakers. I'm Dave Bourne, co-host Denise Quinn, sitting in for Brent DeHart today. He's out doing hard work trying to get air service here to Salem, and I look forward to his report on Monday.
I was going to say, hopefully, if we're within, he's within the sound of our voice.
I don't think
give
so.
Give us an update.
He's traveling
on an airplane.
Right.
Oh. Yeah, I'm very curious to hear.
Does he have Wi-Fi on the airplane?
Does he have Wi-Fi on the airplane?
I'm
Good
sure.
question.
He's probably listening, but, you know, you can listen live online, too.
There's a meeting coming up very soon to update people on that, which I will be attending, so mm-hmm. I'll be curious. I'll
hear first.
Yeah, I know. You, right? You
yeah.
will. You've got the special
inside ear. Track.
There you go. Well, we are back again. We have one more segment with Jeff Reynolds, who is the author of Behind the Curtain, Inside the Network of Progressive Billionaires and Their Campaign to Undermine Democracy. Jeff, you also mentioned that you have a podcast called Behind the Curtain.
Yes.
Let's talk a little bit about that, because your format is a little unusual and it's kind of unique, and I think it's beneficial for people to check it out.
Yeah. So, I try to keep myself to an hour every week. Sometimes it's hard to keep it to an hour, but
really,
yes, yeah. I can't imagine. A little bit to say, yeah. But I do a half hour segment with a national guest,
yeah.
And then I do a half hour segment with a local guest. So last week, this it drops every Wednesday. So mm-hmm. this Wednesday, I mentioned Marty Hyen was mm-hmm. my local guest. My national guest was Brad Marston from the Boston Tea Party of 2009, and also a good buddy of mine who's done national campaigns. He worked on Herman Cain's presidential campaign and all that kind of stuff. So we reminisced about the 10-year anniversary of the Tea Party.
Yeah.
You know, so this week coming up, I've got two really interesting guests. I'm actually really excited about this. My national guest is Kira Davis.
My gosh.
Yeah. She's awesome.
Love
she's
Kira.
Yeah. She's with Smart Girl Politics.
Yes.
And she's just recently been involved in her local school board meetings because they're pushing a radical sex education agenda mm-hmm. That reaches down into grade school and, you know, gets really graphic and it's really inappropriate for kids that age.
And she's in Southern California.
Yes, she is.
Yes.
Yeah. And a couple of weeks ago, I actually interviewed Rebecca Friedrichs of Friedrichs versus CTA mm-hmm. that went to the Supreme Court. So same issue, you know, school board stuff. So Kira and I are going to rap for a while. And I also do a bonus segment. I have a Patreon account. Mm-hmm. So paid subscribers get to hear the bonus segment and a couple of other cool features. So but check out the podcast. It's anchor.fm/behindthecurtain, or it's also on Google or Apple Podcasts. My local guest this week is going to be Angela Todd. Todd, who is in the Montevilla neighborhood of Portland, mm-hmm. and she's been running basically a social liberal and kind of an independent. She's not really politically affiliated, but she's gotten sick and tired and completely fed up with the city's complete lack of response to street crimes, homelessness, you know, not enforcing all that, making the city completely unsafe to walk around in. And so she's been doing this activist stuff for over a year now and made national news with it. And so it's going to be interesting to talk to her for half an hour about all of the crap that she sees on 82nd Street, 82nd Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, Montevilla was the neighborhood where the Multnomah County Republican Party was denied the parade entry. Antifa came to the organizers of the parade and said, if you don't deny the Multnomah County Republicans their entry in the parade, we're going to bring 200 thugs with us to bust some skulls, basically.
I remember that.
And they canceled the parade.
Yeah, they canceled. And it was part of the, it was a Rose Festival sanctioned event.
Yeah. It had been there for years and we'd been in the parade for years.
And completely buckled under the pressure, under the threats.
Nobody, and I talk about it in the book, actually, because I called the public information officer for Portland Police, and he told me flat out they had plenty of officers to provide security. They had the East Side District was ready to go. They were going to get backup from the Central District precinct, and they had plenty of officers to provide security. And the parade organizers just buckled anyway.
And you have to wonder what's so scary about a float full of Republicans.
It's not even a float. It's just a bunch of people carrying
people just
banner.
Carrying signs.
Yeah.
You bring up a good point though with Ms. Todd and talking about people that, you know, in the past, maybe even two or three years ago, ideologically, we're kind of different. But what you're finding is sort of a group of people that are coming together because they're disenfranchised from the extremes of both sides.
Yeah.
And are you finding that there? I was on another friend's podcast, the Disabuse podcast with James Historiana. And we were talking about the radical moderates. Where you're a radical moderate, you're not on either fringe, but what you're finding is this group, the NAVs, the non-affiliated voters, mm-hmm. who are just looking, let's just bring it to Oregon, where you're seeing this gross overreach, this sort of power run amok.
Yeah.
And you've got rational people, good intentioned people who care, who are finding they're kind of homeless right now, and they're frightened about what's happening because it is an overreach. Are you seeing coalition building possibilities there?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that especially with the Democrat supermajorities in both houses, they're obviously overreaching with Senate Bill 1008, like we talked about, mm-hmm. with the gun grabbing bills, with the
3036.
Yeah, the vaccine bill.
There's so many of them; it's hard to keep them straight. The
vaccine
bill.
I mean, there's 8,000 bills.
I
so,
know. Good grief! Yeah. Just that alone should set your hair on fire.
Right. So And then all the stuff with the Secretary of State's office.
Oh,
my gosh,
yes.
Completely reversing and undermining Dennis's legacy and watching that all happen. And I've written about that a bunch. Mm-hmm. And it just, the more I hear in back channels, the worse it gets. It's bad.
Yeah.
So, there are a lot of folks in, not necessarily in the middle, but are not polarized. Mm-hmm. You know, they may be center right, they may be center left, but they all are rational kind of, I don't want my city streets to look like this. I don't want my guns taken away. I don't want to be forced by the government to do stuff. You know, I don't want my taxes to go up 40%, mm-hmm. which is going to happen with the cap and trade bill.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of folks, and we as Republicans have an opportunity mm-hmm. to reach out to those folks and say, look, Let's forget about the Trump stuff.
Yeah.
Whichever way you're thinking, because I have a friend that pointed out we try in the primary and in the general for the Republican gubernatorial primary, mm-hmm. we tried the pro Trump stuff, that didn't work.
No, it didn't.
And then we tried in the general, we tried the anti Trump stuff with Newt, mm-hmm. and that didn't work either.
Right.
So let's just talk about the issues. Yep. Let's talk about the local stuff. All politics is local.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about the issues that are affecting us every single day. Homelessness, tolling on the I-5 and 205, third bridge.
Third
in Salem.
Bridge in Salem.
Yes,
yeah.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
The statewide plastic bag ban. Yes. You know, it's not going to do it.
Don't even get me started.
It doesn't do anything. And then it's an additional. And who's that going to hurt? It's going to hurt low income, single parents.
Right. Everything they do hurts the poor.
Right.
And, I have another friend who's famous for saying all taxes disproportionately hurt the poor.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what happens. And they don't care. They honestly don't care. There's so much corruption in state government. I have always said that Oregon is the most corrupt state in the union. Mm-hmm. And I think we can really build a coalition around that because, you know, hey, people bring up Illinois or Louisiana or whatever, New York. But in those states, at least sometimes they get prosecuted.
Yeah.
Here they get raises.
That's Oregon. Again, Oregon is like, here, hold my beer, because Oregon has got
right,
this.
And, right.
But nobody, Oregon doesn't get talked about nationally, and that's what's been frustrating to me.
Well,
it's like we're in this little, I know. But you see some, I see, you know, pundits and people that have a bigger, broader national stage that mm-hmm. we all would like to have. But we don't come up. Illinois comes up. New York comes up. The mm-hmm. craziness that's going on in other states. It's like, I feel like, you know, screaming, hey, look at us. We're way ahead of you. We're already on this path. But you talk about the local as well. And like you said, I think these issues transcend party politics.
Absolutely.
They get down to their pocketbook issues. They're things that, regardless of how you feel about maybe certain social issues, you know, getting over the bridge on your commute in Salem, mm-hmm. it bugs everybody regardless
right.
of your ideology.
And having radical progressives take over the school board
right.
and pushing a radical leftist agenda affects your kids.
And so you're seeing that too. Again, you're seeing potentially coalition building with the vaccination bill. You can be pro-vax, anti-vax, whatever. The problem that most people have is this is a government overreach, and
right.
the government doesn't have a right to come in and mandate what I inject into my child's body.
Right.
Period.
That's right. Yeah. And that's, again, you've got 35 years of Democrat rule in mm-hmm. this state. And you know, another guest on my podcast, Kim Sordill, mm-hmm. From the Secretary of State's office, who had recently resigned.
Yes, she did.
Yeah. And she's been railing up and down. And she's happy to talk about what's going on in the Secretary of State's office. But, even she, a dyed-in-the-wool lifetime Democrat, says that 30 years of complete control over the state government has led to complete corruption.
The other aspect that I'm seeing play out, and I think that is really rankling people, is the arrogance of those that are sitting in those seats of power, so to speak. You've seen viral videos, the one from Seattle where you had the gentleman who was going up trying to speak to the council, just ask them to look at him. And you saw that with testimony happening from the Salem City Council, where it was already a done deal. You've seen it with testimony about the anti-vax, where you've had literal mothers crying.
Yeah.
I mean, emotions. And it's just met with this brick wall, this sort of stoic lack, this indifference.
There was a Portland legislator, and I want to say it was Jennifer Williamson, but it might have been somebody else. I forget. But she was quoted in the Portland Tribune as saying that, she was faced with a question at the town hall about fixing the roads and expanding the freeways and expanding, you know, relieving congestion and traffic.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, you know, I understand that that's a popular issue with people, but we have to convince them that alternative forms of transportation are in their best interest. Yeah. So
to quote Trump, wrong.
Yeah. I mean, the idea that they hear that the vast majority
yes.
of even their constituents yes. in liberal Portland are mm-hmm. saying, we want this. And they say, no, you aren't getting that. And you need to listen to, you need to, they're not responsive to their own constituents, and that's just deeply insulting.
But then doesn't it sort of boggle the mind that yet they keep voting for these people?
Right. I don't understand why they do that.
I don't understand that either.
In Portland, it's really hard to break through.
Well, Jeff, I want to thank you for being on the program today to talk about your book, to talk about local politics, state politics. Once again, Jeff Reynolds has been our guest. He's the author of Behind the Curtain, the Inside the Network of Progressive Billionaires and Their Campaign to Undermine Democracy. Jeff, safe travels back up to your neck of the woods.
Well, thank you very much. I really enjoyed it. I look forward to next time.
Thanks
for coming in, buddy.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
We have more of Newsmakers. Mitch Graff from the Salem Kaiser Volcanoes next on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly sponsored by Hamblin's Nursery. Welcome back to Newsmakers, and I'm Dave Bourne along with Denise Quinn, and it's Friday. That means it's time for Mitch Graff.
Happy Friday, everybody.
Oh, boy. Blows out my ears every time. He's excited because I'm excited about the Salem Kaisers. You have a breaking story.
I do. Actually, I talked to Sergeant Mike before, and we're happy to let your listening fans know we have now hired our play-by-play announcer.
Ooh, awesome. That's exciting.
Yeah. And actually, he's our color guy as well, but we have a guy to put on the air with KYKN Radio this year for every single game.
And who is it?
His name is Payne Patchett. Oh. That sounds like it's a stage name, but that's actually
awesome
this guy's name.
Name.
He's a young phenom. Right now, he's probably taking a chemistry test at Lake Stevens High School.
What?
This kid is a high school senior. He is a decade ahead of people that have been in this industry for 10, 15, 20 years. His coaches, his mom, they all believe that right now he can go on the big stage and announce a World Series game.
Wow.
And not miss a beat.
That's impressive.
He's eons in front of his age.
Wow.
Nice.
He announces the Lake Stevens baseball games. Mm-hmm. And the way he's done it for the last several years is he gets a little table at the end of the dugout. He has a little recording device that his mom and dad bought him when he was 11 years old, because that's when he started announcing things, just out loud in his room.
Uh-huh.
His mom would say that she'd catch him in his room announcing six different ways that the winning touchdown happened, and he was just trying to find out what's going to get the best reaction for the fans. And he's been a phenom for all these years, the youngest play-by-play announcer in minor league baseball, and I think people are going to fall in love with this kid.
And the Volcanoes got
him. Payne Patchett.
Wow.
The Volcanoes were the first ones to jump, and
nice.
I think there was a lot of other interest, but he chose us, being in the Northwest, and he loves the history of the Volcanoes. He's already done some studying. And this kid is not just about balls and strikes.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure listeners are going to be going Googling this kid or YouTubing him. Payne Patchett. This kid, as he's calling the balls and strikes, he's also talking about things like last season he had a 9-game hitting streak and what the kid volunteered for over the summer. And he adds this colorful, this beautiful weave of storytelling in the background. And then, yes, there's balls and strikes, but it's almost like that's a secondary thing. So he tells the entire story. He gets the listeners on the edge of their seats listening. And I just can't wait to have him part of the Volcano family.
I can't wait to hear him because I'm not gigantic baseball fan, but having color commentary like that to draw me in with the personal stories would definitely get me.
Mm-hmm. And in minor league baseball, it's a wonderful launching platform, obviously, for players. You know, the Volcanoes have had 115 players that have made it to the big leagues,
mm-hmm.
including 21 of 40 right now on the big league roster with the Giants. But also for staff, it's an opportunity for people to kind of cut their teeth and launch their careers in whatever they want to do when they grow up. And this is just a perfect case of giving an opportunity to someone that is young,
mm-hmm.
that has a vision and a passion, and he verbally says, I want to announce Major League Baseball games.
Nice.
And he knows he wants to start in minor league baseball. And out of 160, we were selected, and we also selected him. And now he's on our team, and I just can't wait to have your fans and listeners listening to him. Isn't that cool?
I love this so much, yes.
Yeah, this is really exciting.
And the first chance people will get to meet him is when?
Friday, June 14th at Volcano Stadium. We got Fan Fest before that, though, May 11th. which I will continue to remind everybody about. May 11th, Saturday from 11 to 3, we're doing National Anthem auditions. We're having Joe Patterson and Tony Toccato, former Major League players there, signing autographs. Creator doing selfies. We have all the food vendors giving out free samples. It's just we're trying to build this to be a nice little event that we can do annually. Mm-hmm. The San Francisco Giants official car is going to be there.
Nice.
It's all decked out with logos, and it's got the orange, and it's a beautiful car. It will be there if you want to take photos. And I'll be there just saying hi to people and giving out balloons and candy to all the kids. No, I won't be giving out candy to the kids. That's a bad thing for parents, right?
Wow. I can't believe you went there.
But the whole team will be there. The staff will be there doing stadium tours and having a good time. And then just a handful of weeks after that, we welcome the Volcanoes into town.
Nice.
And we're getting closer and closer to draft day, so you know who is going to be on the team.
June 4th, 5th, and 6th is the draft days, and we'll find out, actually, while the draft is going on, what folks we're going to end up probably getting here in Kaiser, which is absolutely wonderful. Still looking for a handful of host families.
Well, so that's
if you want to host one of these kids that's looking for a place to stay, you basically have to provide a safe living environment, a ride to the stadium. We provide the food and everything like that, so you don't have to worry about feeding these kids, except for breakfast. We do everything else. But if you're interested, just call Volcano Stadium, 390-2225, and we'll give you all the information.
Now, are you secured with all the restaurants that are going to serve food now?
Still working on a couple of spots, potentially. Yeah, the five that we've announced so far are in concrete. They're looking forward to coming in. We got El Patron, we got Barbecue Nation, we have Cafe Yum, we have South Paws Pizza, we have Bahama Mama, Shaved Ice, Italian Ice.
Love that.
That's the five that are secured right now, but still working a couple more.
Awesome.
You will be the first to know, Dave. I absolutely promise you.
Wow. That's pretty impressive.
Well, second. Because Jerry Walker will know before I do.
That's a good thing.
There's the pecking order.
There it is. Yeah. Booyah!
Yeah, nice.
And also, our pocket calendars just came in. I have 100,000 pocket schedules that have all of our promo dates, all of our legends, all of our special nights during the season. And you can stop by the stadium to pick up one, or we have nice little boxes that you can pick up 100 and put them on your counter at work or take them to your employees or whatever.
So
we now have them in stock. Please stop by the stadium. I have thousands. Did I mention 100,000 of these things?
Yeah, you did.
We have plenty. Yeah. Did I say 100,000 yet?
Yeah.
You did.
I did. Okay.
Oh, look at all the restaurants are on there.
All the restaurants are on there. So stop by the stadium and pick those up.
Now, when you add the new ones, are you going to print new ones?
No. Next year I will.
Oh, okay.
I'll print more. This is a big enough project for us. So.
These are pretty good looking ones. I like these. I'm going to put this up on my desk. Thank you so much for that.
You betcha, guys.
And paint job and all the landscaping is all done.
Landscaping is going on this week. Painting is finishing up this week. All kinds of fun small changes.
Week.
I just call it drips in the bucket. We just do all these little drip, drip, drips, and come the season, our bucket's full, the energy's there, the momentum is going, and the fans are going to come and just fall in love with us all over again.
Oh,
discover
yeah.
the wonder all over again is our tagline.
I like it a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, I enjoyed myself last year when I was there.
How many times did you come last year?
Twice.
And you know, Brent is going to audition for the National Anthem. Do you sing?
I wondered about
that.
Not anymore. And
but
I did used to sing. I'm not going to. The National Anthem is one of the hardest songs to sing. I'm going to back Brent.
You don't have
Brent.
You don't have to do the National Anthem. Jingle bells. You can do anything basic you like to.
I'm going to be on Team Brent for this one.
I'm going to bring my pom-poms around. That's what
we'll
I'm
have Crater there with pom-poms.
There you go.
That's right. There you go. That's a good idea. I like it. All right.
Well, Brent won't know what we've signed him up for until he gets back next week, right?
Exactly.
We'll just leave a laundry list.
That's what he gets for not being here.
He gets thrown under the bus.
That's right. Several times.
Well, congratulations on getting the announcer. What's his name again?
Paint Padgett. I've already got it memorized because it's such an awesome
Coming
name.
Coming at you in a bright and shiny Saturday morning here in KYKN country.
Oh, boy.
Oh, look at you with your radio announcer voice.
That's pretty
scary.
We're
looking forward to it. Yes. We're looking forward to it.
All right. Well, Mitch Graff. He's the president of the Salem Kaiser Volcanoes. Thanks for joining us in the studio.
Have a great weekend.
This has been Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live local talk that matters to you from the Capital Auto Group studios exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.